Welcome to Ryan Rants and Raves, a podcast series by the Quebec Government Office in New York. Bienvenue à Ryan Rants and Raves, une série de podcasts par le gouvernement du Québec à New York.
I'm with a great Québécoise, with Elisa Dahan, and she has a great entrepreneurship story. And then she also has, you know, a great story about fashion. So, Elisa, thank you so much for taking the time to be with me today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, and I guess just to get started, can you just give a brief introduction about yourself, how you got into this industry? Because you've been in the industry for quite some time now.
Yes, not to age myself, but it's over 25 years now. So,
congrats,
yes, quite a long time. I think that, I mean, like a lot of young girls, I was always very passionate about fashion, but I think to a farther extent, I always was drawing things and playing with Barbies and making them clothes. And I don't know, I guess it was something that was inside of me. And I really always wanted to make like a real difference in the fashion. I wanted to be able to do something that is timeless and that people talk about forever. So funny enough, I do have a funny story about going into fashion because the school I went to really didn't encourage arts.
Oh, really? Okay.
It was, if you weren't in science, you were not good enough.
Outcast.
So I ended up applying in social sciences when I finished high school, which would have been a complete waste of time. And my father knew how passionate I was about being in the fashion industry and told me he would not be supportive in school if I didn't go into fashion. And thanks to him, I went to LaSalle College and studied fashion and didn't waste my time. It was something that was obvious to even my family that I had to do. And I, while I was in school, I mean, I went to school with a dear friend, Iran, which we then went into a whole journey of building Maquage, which was a 20-year chapter. So really from the ground up, from doing every role, you know, wearing every hat. And I think this was the best schooling, to be honest, this life experience and learning how to, you know, pivot, evolve, adapt to every situation. You know, we've been able to build a global brand, which is very, very exciting. And I mean, I could tell you a million stories about building that and really also being naive. You get to do things that you would never think you would do. Or maybe you do things that if you're 45, you really think about it before you do them. I mean, I remember taking a rack of clothing and going into a hotel room in New York and just seeing clients, sending them mailers that I would really cold call clients to figure out what do they sell, because we were not at the time of internet and Facebook. And Instagram, we didn't have the information privy to us. So, you know, I think I had that real dream of being able to build a global brand. And really, we did a lot of amazing things to get there. I mean, we just in order to get into retail, I don't know if you remember, but in 2009, Anna Wintour had decided to do a fashions night out to help the economy in New York and put fashion back in the map. And it was like a carnival of events in stores, but we didn't have a store and I really wanted to participate. So we opened our first pop-up at Maquage that way. And that's what led to us now having 38 stores. So, I mean, it's seeing opportunities, which has been always really exciting to me as we build the business and seeing how opportunities turn into really big scale project. So from that, I mean, about 6-7 years ago, we sold to a private equity, which was a surreal experience, really, because I think everybody dreams to be in that position. And we were there. And it was fun because as much as we were selling to ourselves to them, they were selling themselves to us, which was really, I mean, I think I said it, but a surreal experience. So I stayed on for 4 years, helped build a great executive team. And when I thought that my first baby was in really, really good hands, I decided to hop onto a new journey, which is Doty, which, you know, I think like Maquage really stemmed from fusing fashion and function and filling a void. I think that's kind of my mantra in anything business oriented. And I wanted to be able to do that yet again.
Well, and there's two things I like about the story. You know, one thing I like about the story is, you know, you started the business with your friend. So that's pretty cool that you could start something from your friend. And the second thing is you mentioned about, you know, Maquage and Doty. I think what they both have is Natasha's coat is really known to be shape for the body. And it's not like, oh, you look like you're drowning in some puffer. It has a shape. And I think Dodie, which you'll speak more about, I think it works perfectly for the shape of every woman. So.
I think that in essence, what I stand for, you can see it in both brands. Just, I mean, Maquillage really defined itself by doing fitted down jackets.
Yeah.
I know that it's on trend to be oversized and look like Michelin Man today, but back then it wasn't. And back then coats were not a thing. You know, people bought coats to protect themselves, but it wasn't a fashion item. And I think we helped revolutionize how people look at outerwear. And the whole point was always to embellish a women's silhouette. And I think that with Dodie, again, I think that I love embracing the woman's silhouette, and I wanted to be able to, again, fill a void in the market, which and also see what is trending. I think that with everything going on with the shapewear market, we see that it's been democratized, and it's now okay to wear shapewear. And it's a $2.2 billion market, but nobody has really invested their time and energy to give a solution where you don't have to wear shapewear. So the idea really stemmed from I love knitwear, but I find it super unforgiving and wanted to be able to fuse knitwear and shapewear. And at the beginning, this was really an idea that I did not know how I was going to accomplish, but was able to develop a patent-pending technology, which is really exciting, which allows for the garment to be knitted in a way that creates density in the areas where you need support, allowing you not to have to wear shapewear. And there's different degrees of this support based on if you like a tight hug or a light hug, because I think all women are different. But to me, it's about dressing real women and making them feel confident, supported, and sensual, because, I mean, women have beautiful shapes.
And can you mention, you know, what inspired the name of Dodie? Like, I think it's very personal, the name that you created for it.
Yeah, so believe it or not, I bought the domain name in 2014, which is way, way before I even had time or energy to build this. It's the name of my mom. She passed away when she was 45. Funny enough, I just turned 45, so it's kind of a big year for me. And I really wanted to give her life through the collection. And mothers are the women that shape us, and it's about shapewear. So I mean, a lot of the brand has her. It was my way of having a new type of relationship with her. I used her signature. She wrote a letter to my dad the day of their wedding, and I used her signature as my logo. She used to doodle tulips all the time, so you find tulips all the time and tulips every time I do an event. It was my way to connect, and to be honest, she's been part of this journey throughout, and it's been a very special one.
And I like it as well, because the tulip is the spring, so always brings happiness for me. In any case, the tulip,
it's a sign of rebirth. It's a true sign of rebirth.
Exactly. So it's a full service. So now I do want to ask, you know, what are your design inspirations? So like about the collections that you're having.
So for me, really, I'm inspired by women and their shapes and how to bring that forward and how to make them feel good. Like, I want women to put on my clothing and light up. That's like my goal. I think that that's the biggest gift you can give a woman. So really, real women inspire me. It's kind of crazy because, you know, it's so easy to dress a young woman, you know, but I've been really lucky to be able to dress women, like real women, like Brooke Shields or Christy Brinkley, who's 70, and make them look amazing. I mean, they're beautiful women, but I mean, I think the idea, that's my biggest inspiration. How do I make all women of all shapes and sizes feel good and confident? So that's my biggest inspiration. I mean, and I love playing with proportion. So although I love everything that embellishes your silhouette, I love playing with proportion. So that's really what inspires me.
So it's like empowering women, no matter what age, that's essentially, or what body type they have.
Yeah, women should feel empowered. I mean, we have a gift that I think even in trends, latest trends, I mean, the female body is beautiful, and trends lately have not been putting that at the forefront. But I mean, yes, you can be on trend, but still highlight the fact that you are feminine. And I think that that's what's beautiful.
And I do want to take a step back and speak about like mistakes maybe some entrepreneurs make in entering the U.S. market. Do you have any stories or about that?
Yeah, I think there's no real mistakes in life. I think everything is a learning experience. So the word mistake is very loaded because, I mean, every mistake you make allows you to make a better decision in the future for whatever chapter it is, whether it's for the current chapter or the future chapter. But I think one of the things I would say that I've learned through my experiences, I'm not going to say mistakes, is perception. And what your goal is in terms of brand perception should really be how you enter the market, even if you have to be patient. You know, sometimes the people you want take longer, but allow you to build the right brand perception, which allows you for longevity and to build what you really want. Now, does that mean you're going to make compromises? Of course, but you need to understand that every compromise you make sets the tone of where you're positioned in the fashion industry. And I think that to me is something that I hold very dear to me because I know exactly where I want Doty to be.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of Doty, it's your baby. So like if you say yes to someone that doesn't align with your goals and values, it's putting, you know, your child in a place where they can't succeed, essentially, in the long run.
And that doesn't mean that it can't, because it doesn't mean that making business decisions that allow you to make money quicker affects you. It just changes the dynamics, which to me, it's like eventually you have to evolve and adapt in some cases and do compromises. But it's like you need to really weigh those compromises and make sure the right time to make them.
No, completely agree. So now we want the name of the podcast is Rants and Raves. Do you have anything to rant or rave about? You can just rave if you don't want to say anything negative.
I do have one rant. I feel like, you know, the industry lately is in a dark place because times have been difficult. And I just feel like everybody needs to realize that this is a time for opportunity. So I'm excited about how hard it is just because when things are hard, things get stale and new brands become important because they're refreshing and innovative. So, I mean, that's my rant is like everybody needs to start seeing the cup half full instead of half empty and find and seize the opportunities and find them. You know, you need to create them. And I mean, raves, I mean, I genuinely love what I do and I'm happy and grateful that I can get to do what I love to do. And I'm also excited about the reaction I've had since I've launched. You know, I launched by opening a pop-up in New York, in Soho, November 22. And right away, I mean, in terms of press and media, I was featured on Vogue, Forbes, WWD. Like I mentioned earlier, Brooke Shields became a true, real ambassador of the brand. I mean, I have so much that I can rave about. I mean, not to say that it's not super difficult to build a business and that I don't have a million obstacles to overcome every day, but it's remembering how all these moments make you feel that keeps me going, really.
Well, and when you have an obstacle, seeing all of that, what you just mentioned, all that you've accomplished and just starting the line not too long ago, especially starting the line just, you know, during the time here of COVID, that's a tough time.
Yeah, like, it was right after COVID, but still, I mean, we've recovered.
Yeah, exactly.
And then went back into a very difficult place. But again, I see this as opportunities.
Yeah. And then now we had to talk about good old Quebec because they pay my salary. So do you have anything to say about Montreal? You can say you like a restaurant or something.
I mean, I think Montreal is vibrant and has so much life. And I think that is inspiring at the end of the day. Because, I mean, look, the whole purpose of me launching Doty was to give life to my mom and allow women to live a grand life they can't. She didn't have a chance to live. And I feel like Montreal, you can live that grand life in so many different capacities. Like, I mean, we have amazing restaurants. We have we have so much culture, which is so beautiful because like where else in the world do you have this much culture that can coexist? And so many flavors, you know what I mean? I mean, you could feel like you're in New York or in Paris in at the same time, you know, which is pretty amazing. So I think Montreal is a beautiful city and I'm so happy that I get to raise my kids here.
Well, we're happy that we have you. So I can say that. And I do want to say like Doty, you know, you can see Doty on Instagram because you guys have an Instagram, right?
Yeah,
and online.
And on live on doty.com.
Perfect. And that's, well, I'll be sure to put that in the notes. And the last thing that I ask, you know, everyone who comes on is, do you have any other advice for entrepreneurs? I think there's a lot of that you mentioned about always seeing the opportunities and always seeing a mistake as actually a positive. And I think that's great. But do you have anything else you would like to mention
I think that the most important thing is to listen to everything everybody says, but knowing how to digest it and ensure that you stay true to your vision, but actually listen, because a lot of people that we meet give us amazing insights.
Yeah.
You know? And some of it is 90% bad, but 10%, there's always something that we can gain from somebody else's experience, you know? So I think that knowing how to stay true to yourself, but still really listening, because I think sometimes people get into this industry and think, oh, I know exactly what I want to do. This is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to, but you hit a wall and you need to know how to shift and still staying true to who you are or what you want your business to be, but listening to constructive criticism or criticism or hard criticism is a gift. To me, is a gift, because every conversation I have helps me continue to think of how I can strategize to build this business. So I think that, you know, I would say listen and know what to retain and what to not retain.
That's amazing. That's perfect. Well, on that, Elisa, c'est tout que j'ai. So merci d'être venu. So thank you again.
And then
we'll be in touch in Montreal and New York very soon. So I look forward to that.
Well, thank you. Thank you for doing this. It was a lot of fun.
Merci d'avoir écouté Ryan's Rants and Raves. Suivez-nous sur Instagram at Ryan's Rants and Raves. Thank you for listening to Ryan's Rants and Raves. Follow us on Instagram at Ryan's Rants and Raves. À très bientôt.